that I had planned to preach this sermon in the morning and what I preached this morning for tonight, but before coming to service and praying that I felt it ought to be the other way around, and so I hope everything works out. But I have found something over the course of years. It's all good. The Word of God is all good. I might not be able to get it out the way that I would like or the way that you would like for me to do, but this is a good book. And I enjoy reading the Bible, and I've encouraged you to read it and pray study and be a servant of the Lord and an instrument in the hands of God. And if there's ever a time we need the Word of God planted down deep in our hearts, it's now. We might be facing some things that we don't realize. Might be more out there than we can even begin to imagine, but whatever comes, I want you to know that God's a big God, and He's so good. He's so good. I'm going to be reading from the 10th chapter of Numbers. Numbers chapter number 10. Thank God, thank God. When you find it, just hold it there, and I would like to give some background for the sermon tonight. Numbers chapter number 10. According to the 12th chapter of Exodus, at midnight on April the 14th, 1491, the children of Israel, they marched out of Egypt immediately after the death of the firstborn, where there had been no blood applied to the doorpost. And when they began to march out, I want you to understand tonight, it was because of the blood that was applied to the doorpost that God delivered them, that God brought them out, and God saw to it that they were delivered from the Egyptians by the high hand of God and by the leader named Moses. Let me leave this with you tonight. I believe the deliverance of the nation of Israel from Egypt was one of the greatest miracles in the Bible. What a miracle, a nation born in slavery, delivered, and with all the abundance that they were given when they left. They crossed the Red Sea on dry ground. The Bible tells me that they saw the armies of Pharaoh perish in the waters of the sea when the waters returned. We find that they were there at the Marah when the waters were bitter, and God sweetened the water. They drank water from the flinty rock at Rephidim, and God fed manna out of heaven for them to eat. And the Bible says that they arrived at Sinai on June the 1st, 46 days later. Keep this in mind. April the 14th, 1491, they marched out with the high hand of God. 46 days later, they arrive at Mount Sinai after having left Egypt. There on the top of the mountain, God gave Moses the law, the Ten Commandments, and along with them, He gave the ordinances and the statutes and the guidelines and the rules that they were to follow as His people. Then the second verse of the 10th chapter, I'm going to read the first 10 verses. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, make thee two trumpets of silver. Of a whole piece shalt thou make them, that thou mayest use them for the calling of the assembly, and for the journeying of the camps. And when they shall blow unto them, all the assembly shall assemble themselves to thee at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And if they blow but with one trumpet, then the princes, which are heads of the thousands of Israel, shall gather themselves unto thee. When you blow an alarm, then the camps that lie on the east parts shall go forward. When you blow an alarm the second time, then the camps that lie on the south side shall take their journey. They shall blow an alarm for their journeys. And when the congregation is to be gathered together, ye shall blow, but ye shall not sound an alarm. And the sons of Aaron, the priests, shall blow with the trumpets. They shall be to you for an ordinance forever throughout your generations. And if you go to war in your land against the enemy that oppresseth you, then ye shall blow an alarm with the trumpets. And ye shall be remembered before the Lord your God, and ye shall be saved from your enemies. Also in the day of your gladness, and in your solemn days, and in the beginnings of your months, ye shall blow with the trumpets over your burnt offerings and over the sacrifices of your peace offerings, that they may be to you for a memorial before your God. I am the Lord your God. In that second verse, God says to Moses, I want you to make two trumpets. two trumpets of silver, each to be made of a solid piece of silver. I want them to be used for the calling of the people together, to assemble the people together, and for the journeying of the people, for the journeying of the people to march forward, and for the preparation for battle. Years later, in the days of Jesus, which was 1500 years later, Josephus, the historian, said as he was writing about the trumpets, he said, they would not only be of one piece of silver, they would be 18 inches long, straight. They would have a large mouthpiece with a bell at the end, made of silver, one piece of silver. So tonight I want to preach two silver trumpets. I'm going to have two thoughts. The first will not be so much about the trumpets, but it'll be in preparation of the real thought about the uses of the trumpet. I would like to begin by saying God is a God of order. I want to repeat that. God is a God of order. He has everything planned out and ordered out, not only for you and me, but for the entire universe. If you will look into the heavens and study the stars or whatever, you'll find out that God has placed them in a particular orbit, a particular place. Everything is right as God ordained it to be. God has a plan. And He's got a plan for us. And if we will follow the plan of God, we will have an abundant entrance into that city called heaven. Thank God for His plan. He is a God of order, as we read through the Bible. He delivered the people of Israel out of Egyptian bondage that He might give them the land that He promised to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob. And in essence, He would do this, and this is important for us to remember. He brought them out that He might bring them in. He saved us from sin that He might bring us to glory. He didn't save us from sin just so that we might live in this life above sin. There's something better than this. There's a home prepared for us on the other side. Amen, amen. I read in these 10 verses from the 10th chapter of Numbers, they were to make two trumpets, and they were to be blown by the sons of Aaron, the high priest, Eleazar and Ithamar. They were to be the ones to blow the trumpets and no one else. God had a plan. Eleazar, Ithamar, you are to be the ones to blow the trumpets. So I would like to begin tonight realizing that according to the Bible prophecy that we are living in the last days, and I believe every one of you know that. Paul said in the last days there will be perilous times, and Jesus said in the last days there will be false prophets and many will be deceived, and he goes on to say about what will be taking place in the church. But this is what I want to leave with you right tonight. I believe we're living so near the coming of the Lord in these perilous times that false prophets everywhere, and I would like to say it this way, there are a lot of people out there blowing trumpets that have not been appointed, not been called, not been anointed, not been set aside. They've got all kind of theories, all kind of philosophies, and the religious world is in a turmoil. Which is right? What can happen? Can we know? How this person says this man preaches that this is the way, and someone else preaches that this is the way, and someone else has another way. So many trumpets out there being sounded tonight about this way or that way. I leave it with you tonight. The trumpets that are sounding are a type of the Word of God. There's only one Word of God. There's only one way to go. That's God's way. Let all men be liars, the Bible said. God is not a man that he can lie. What God says in his word, we need to heed it, amen. And so I find and we have been in the ministry a long time, and even before the ministry, we've been in the ministry, so many voices, so many trumpets, they say, in essence, are sounding about this doctrine and about this theory and about something else over here, brother. If it does not line up with the Word of God, it is not the trumpet of God that's sounding. We need to stay with the Word. Thank God, thank God. How many trumpets in essence that are sounded tonight that are not of God. But not only did God outline for Moses out there in Mount Sinai of the various guidelines and the rules he instructed Moses about the feast days and the sacrifices and building the temple, and which tribe of Israel will take care of the tabernacle, and which one will lead this and which one will lead that. He had it all right outlined, and let me leave it with you tonight. God has left nothing out for you and me as a church. Everything we need is right here. Amen. The major part of the sermon tonight is the purpose of the trumpets. Why would God have Eleazar and Ithamar blow the trumpets? For what purpose? So I'd like to begin. First of all, he said, call an assembly of the people. Call together the people to the tabernacle of God. Gather at the door of the tabernacle to be hear the word of God, to be instructed of the ways of God. They were to be a united people. They were to believe the same thing. They were to believe what God said. They were to believe what God has outlined for them. And he said, blow the trumpet to assemble the people. And I thought tonight the devil is out to destroy and to tear down and to hinder everything that is good. Jesus said the thief has come to but to kill and to steal and to destroy. But Jesus went on to say, but I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. I'm saying tonight there is abundant life in Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank God, let the devil do what it will, wherever he might. A tribe at the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is going over to the other side. That's why, and let me say this tonight, when he said, blow that first trumpet to assemble the people together at the tabernacle, I want to preach to the church right now. The trumpet's been sounded for us to gather together. And so much the more, as we see the day of the coming of the Lord approaching, the writer to the Hebrews said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, and so much more as you see the time running out and the coming of the Lord is drawing nigh. Get in church and stay there. That's the Jones paraphrased edition. Go to church. When Jay last night was talking to one of his loved ones, I heard him when he said, get in a Bible, believe in church. Teach it the Bible and get a hold of God and serve God. Stay in there. We need each other. If we ever needed each other, we need us now. I need you and you need me. And we need to pray together and worship together and sing together and do what we can together for the glory of God. It's an important time in the kingdom of God. He said, blow that trumpet to assemble the people. And I'm blowing the trumpet tonight, the word of God. I'm sounding the word of God. The Bible says, lift up your voice as a trumpet. Cry aloud and spare not. I preach tonight what I've been preaching over 50 years. It is important to go to the house of God. I was raised by some tremendous parents. Some of you were as well. My dad and my mother believed in going to church. We went to church when the doors were open. If we could possibly be there, and most of the time we could possibly be there. Never made excuses why we should stay out. And I've heard and I've told you this, and I'm not going to linger here, but my dad would not stay home if company came. My dad would not miss church on Sundays. He would invite the company to go with him. But if they did not go with us, he would say, we're having to go. We've got to be at church. I'm one of the deacons in the church. I have a part of the church. I'm a song leader. My wife plays the piano. Whatever it was, I need to be there. Do you know why a lot of people miss so much church? They don't feel like they're needed. They don't feel like it's important. They feel like the church can go on without them. You say, well, Brother Jones, sure they can. Listen, if God thought that, he wouldn't put such emphasis on it. Forsake not the assembling of this. Thank you, church, for being here. Amen. Everybody can say amen. It's good to go to the house of God. Have you ever felt bad? And the devil was trying to tell you, stay home and they'll not miss you. Sunday we're saying, go on to church. And you came to church and about the first song was sung, you began to get lifted up. And by the time the second and the third song was sung, you forgot about your troubles. Yes. Oh, you found something. You don't feel any worse in church than you do at home. Why not come to church? You're here. Thank God. They blew the trumpet to assemble the people together. And then the second trumpet, he says, sound the trumpet that the people will march forward, that they'll go forward. When that trumpet sounds, eternity when the pillar of the cloud began to move. God had a plan. I want you to move out. It's good to come to church, but there's a time to march out, to go out and witness, go out and share what God's done. A young man came to the door yesterday. I never heard such a thing, but he was wanting to know about the using our property, our field, for a league of frisbee teams. I never knew they had such a thing. He said it's similar to rugby, and I don't know beans about rugby. He said, I've got one of those frisbees in the car. I said, well, I've seen a frisbee. But I don't know what they do and how they do it, but they play a couple of times a week, and they've been using some school grounds and now with school, with football or whatever. They're unable to do that. And he was wanting to know about, and I got to talking to him, so I asked him about church. And he said, we just live over here at Compton Court right across the street. And he said, my wife attends a non-denominational church, but he was Catholic. He said, my wife attends. I said, we're non-denominational. We'd love to have you come and give us a visit. And he decided that maybe he would. Now, I don't know whether he's depending on us letting them use the field to come or not, but I hope that's not it. But when I say that tonight, when he said, blow the trumpet to assemble the people, Shaley said, blow the trumpet to have the people to march forward. It's time when we've come to the house of God and we've prayed and we've sung and we've worshipped and God has blessed our lives. It's time to go out and share what God has done. Amen. Lord, what was that song? Lord, you're so good. You've blessed us in so many ways. That was good, ladies. That was good. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We've come to worship together, to hear the word, to be strengthened, to build it up. The trumpet was blown to assemble the people and sail it, to move the people forward. Let me share with you the oar. I was in Tucson, Arizona in 1955, and we had been in the church just a short time, and one Sunday night or one Wednesday night, and I do not know which, that our pastor received word from Mexico that two missionaries that they knew well, that supported, had an accident down in Hermosillo in Mexico. And our pastor, a woman pastor, decided that night she was going to drive down into Mexico by herself to go down there and be with them. It was June Carter and Floridale Baldwin, one out of Virginia, one out of Oklahoma. And we knew them and we were supporting them, and she went down alone. Now, that was a different day then than it is now, but she drove down into her studio, and when she arrived in the hospital, they had not cleaned out their wounds. There was dirt in the wounds, and she put them in the car and brought them back to Tucson and took care of them. And one had a broken back, but she took care of them. And the father of June Carter, his name was W.W. Carter, out of the western part of Virginia, the general treasurer of the denomination. He was going to preach that Sunday morning in Tucson. While his daughter was there and recuperating from the accident, W.W. Carter, elderly gentleman at that time, and he began to name the names of the tribes of Israel, those on the south and those on the east and those on the north and those on the west. And so I didn't have them memorized, so I jotted them down. He said, when the trumpet sounds and you're to march forward, he said, those of Judah and Issachar and Zebulun on the east side, you march out first. Reuben, Simeon, and Gad on the south, you march out secondly. Ephraim, Manasseh, and Benjamin, you march out in the next line. And then Dan, Asher, and Naphtali on the north, you follow them. And when you march out and you come to the time of encampment, he said, I want you to have your light up on the east, these three tribes. On the south, these three tribes. On the west, these three tribes. On the north, these three tribes. Every time they encamped, they were in the same place with their banner flying. When they marched out in the same order. Listen closely tonight. When we march out of here, the Bible said every man is going in his own order. We're going to be with the Lord. God's got a plan. Thank God. God's got a plan. He said to those of this tribe, these tribes, you march out. When that trumpet sounds to march, you lead first. Israel had not reached the land that had been promised to Abraham, Isaac, and to Jacob. I leave something with you just tonight. We neither have we arrived have that eternal destination that God has promised to us. But we're going to arrive there if we hold on to the hand of God, if we follow in His steps, if we'll obey the Lord and like Joyce likes the course, if we'll keep on walking, we're going to cross over to the other side, and it might be sooner than we realize. When that second trumpet sounds, go forth. And I hear the sound of the trumpet tonight in my ear, spiritually speaking, it's time to march. It's time to go for the Lord. It's time to lift up the banner high and obey God and serve God and live for God. We are the children of the Lord and have not arrived, but we're on our way. Whatever Satan does, whatever he brings against us, I thought of Mary Jane and for Jay. Since last January, one thing after another, after another, after another. Not long after they found that he had cancer. And then they had a daughter-in-law that broke her ankle. And then they had a son that was put in the hospital with seizure. And then they had this and had that. And children out of work and they're trying to help. And there were times when I talked to Jay. It seemed like they had done for this one and done for this one and done for this one, and so many hurting out there. Didn't know how long he'd be able to continue in such a manner. But I want everyone to understand tonight, if we have served God and obey God, He's going to work it all out for His glory. Amen. Amen. What a Savior. What a mighty God. Whatever Satan does, whatever he brings against us, let me leave something else. When I heard this afternoon that Alma was in the hospital, thought came to me. Two daughters, Sue and Diane, after we buried their daddy, Nelson Gills, a man that I loved in this church, a good man. After we buried him and we had a time together, and we were standing at the door of the foyer, and they were leaving. And I stood there and talked to Sue and Diane, and I said, "Your daddy asked a favor of you. While he was in the hospital dying, he asked you, and you promised him what you would do. You promised your dad that you'd get in church and serve God." And I said, "Now we've buried him. He's gone on to glory. Are you going to serve God? Listen closely. Far as I know, neither of the two girls have served God nor been in church since that time. Maybe once on Mother's Day, but have not served God, living in sin. And now Mama's sick. And Sue took her to the doctor and to the hospital this afternoon. And I thought, as I heard about Alma, I don't know what it's going to take in many families. I don't understand how some people can continue on. But I believe this with all of my heart. God is having the trumpets sounded. And it's going to sound for the last time very soon. I pray for people to get in before it's everlasting too late. First trumpet was the symbol of the people. Second trumpet was to march forward. To leave the camp. I thought of the songwriter that said, "We've come too far to turn back now. We've come too far to turn around." The third verse of Amazing Grace, "Through many dangers, toils and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace that brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home." Hallelujah. It's the grace of God that saved us. It's the grace of God that kept us. It's the grace of God tonight that we're here. It's the grace of God that's going to get us out of here. We're going to be Lord by the grace of God. Brother, that's something to rejoice about tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We're almost home. The third trumpet that I like to mention tonight, the trumpet sounded to prepare for battle. And you know as well as I know that the church is engaged in a battle tonight. There was a different sound of alarm. There was a different sound of the trumpet. It was not like they were to gather together at the tabernacle. It was time for battle. It's time to go to war. And listen, if you will, tonight, we are in a warfare. We are in a battle. We are fighting against principalities and powers, against rulers of the darkness of the world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We are fighting against the enemy, but I've got good news for you tonight. We are on the winning side. We're not going under. We're going over by the grace of God. We are victorious. I jotted down some verses. I've got a lot of favorite verses. And the more I read, the more favorite verses I get. I don't know how many favorites you can have. But I jotted down some. Is Christ in you, the hope of glory? When Satan comes against me, Christ in me, the hope of glory. I've got a hope. Greater is he that's within in you than he that's within the world. If God be for us, who can be against us? When I think about those tonight, we are more than conquerors through Christ who loves us. Hallelujah. Now thanks be unto God who always calls us up to triumph in Christ. They are promises tonight. Let the devil come against us. Let the world be on fire. Let the enemy do what he will. Let the whole world be in an upset and chaos. But our God's going to see us through. I've read the rest of the book. We're winning the battle and we're going to cross over with victory. Praise God, praise God. Let me just leave this with you. We need some victory tonight in order to get out of here with a victory. We talk about the trumpet sounding and the victory's going to be out when we change. The victory's out now. If you can imagine what it's going to be like when we change and then just cut that hat in two, and think about what we have right tonight. That's enough to shout about.
Amen.
Amen. Blow the trumpet for the people to go out to battle. We're living in a day in the military world in America that our military is all volunteer. I like that idea. No one in the military. When I went in, there were some that had been drafted, and later on there were some drafted, and they burned their draft cards, and they went to Canada, and they complained about everything that was going on. I thought, thank you, God, for our country, for our nation, but I was glad to serve in the military. I was proud to be in the military. I was not the sharpest soldier in the crowd, but I was glad to be a part in the military. I would never have gotten out until I retired if the Lord had not called me to preach, but I like something about marching forward and going with God, and the battle is out there. We sing that song sometimes. If you're in the battle for the Lord and right, what's the rest of it? Keep on the firing line. We're not going AWOL. We're not going over the hill. We're not going to desert. We're going to stay on the front lines of battle. And when Satan brings his big guns, our God will fight the battle against him. And we shall win, amen. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Hallelujah. He lives in us.
Yes.
Man, if we can ever get a hold of that.
Right.
Amen. He lives. We sing that at Easter time. He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives in us. But he lives right there. Amen. He lives right there in your heart tonight. If you're saved by the blood. And maybe everyone is. Brother, we've got something to shout about. We are the children of the Most High God. Call. Blow that trumpet. There he is. Blow that trumpet at the Lord. Call the people to go out to battle. The warfare is out there. Hallelujah. And finally, trumpet was blown to call Israel to the altar of sacrifice. Four times. Four times. Blow the trumpet for the princes to gather at the tabernacle to hear the word, find out what God has to say, so that we might obey the Lord. Then blow the trumpet for the people to march forward. Then blow the trumpet to go out to battle. And finally, blow the trumpet for the people to gather at the altar. And I'll be brief here. And this is important. There came a time once a year when the children of Israel had a feast. They had several during the year. There came a time in the month of September that the people had a feast. A special feast day. It was called the Day of Atonement. On that day they would come to the tabernacle in the wilderness. Now, when they got over into Canaan's land, they would offer sacrifice.
And they would catch the blood in a basin at the corner of the altar. The priest would take the blood. The high priest would take the blood in a basin. He would go back on his way to the holy place and stop and set the basin of blood down and wash his hands at the brazen laver. Pick up that basin of blood and go into the holy place. And there the table was so red, and the candlestick, and all, and then the altar of incense right at the veil. He would take that basin of blood in the holy place and sprinkle it on the table of showbread. He would sprinkle it over the door on the candlesticks. Go to the altar of sacrifice of incense, the golden altar, right before the veil. Stand there and worship and offer incense before the Lord. Once a year, go behind the veil, take that blood, go to the mercy seat, sprinkle the blood on the mercy seat, and he's asking God, forgive the sins of the people. Forgive the sins of the people. Accept the blood sacrifice. They're standing without. They're waiting to hear or hear if you have forgiven. If the sin in the high priest's life, or he's out of order, he's smitten, he's killed, he dies there in the Holy of Holies. But if God accepts the offering, the blood sacrifice, he goes outside and comes through. Hallelujah, the veil. He comes to the holy place. He comes outside the holy place and standing out there in the outer corner are the thousands of the people that are waiting for the high priest to see if God has forgiven us our sin for the year. And when he steps out, the people began to shout and praise God because God has forgiven us over the atonement. He's atoned for the sins and they are righteous in the eyes of God. They were shouting and praising God. They had something to shout about. Right. They had come to the altar. The blood had been shed. It had been accepted. The redeeming blood had been accepted by the Almighty God. And when the high priest comes out, they shout praises unto God. The worshiping God. I'm going to close. I preached tonight about the trumpet being sounded, one of the silver trumpets being sounded. And the prince is gathering at the tabernacle to hear what God has to say, so that they can tell it to the people. Say when the trumpet sounded, and they were to march forward. Not stay right here. Neither one of us ought to stay in the same place we were when we got saved. We ought to be making progress. There they were. Simon coming for the battle. There are battles going on. I mentioned Wednesday night, or mentioned it again tonight, I don't know what's going to happen. Our world is in a turmoil like I know it never been since the Second World War. The trouble we have, and I am not here stand to put down any presidential figure from the past, not the present nor the past. We've had a policy in America, and I'm not a politician, and I'm not a lot of things I don't know. Oftentimes we have given money to try to have friends. We try to have them to love like us and go along with us as long as we give them money so that they might exist. And we want them to be friends of ours. Oftentimes they have turned around and treated us wrongly. Over the years. I'm not talking about that woman. I'm talking about across the years. And now the Lord's on fire. Come! Now we're going to have to turn out. I really believe that Israel is going to have a fall in the last days. I believe that. I believe the things come to your head. When I heard Benjamin Netanyahu, the Prime Minister of Israel, say this week, the world is asking us to wait. And he said, he asked this question, wait for what? He said it's time for the nations of the world to draw some red lines and say we've gone far enough. And to go across this, we've got to do something. Israel is in a fast head. The lady that left him this morning said, come to Israel, come to Israel, surely. They've got chosen people. preacher. I don't know how, what things are going to happen, but I know how it's going to turn out. We're going to win. The trumpet's going to sound. We're going to have to battle. We're fighting against the enemy. And he says, blow the trumpet to gather up the altar. And I thought if there was ever a time for the church tonight to gather at the altar. Come to the altar. A world in trouble. Families in trouble. Hurry! Hurry! Come to the altar. There's a song. And the cross, and the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart was over with. At the cross where I met the Lord. At the cross where He lifted the burden of my sin. And I don't know about you, but the night that I got saved, it felt like God had lifted a weight off of me. And I met that altar of new man.
Amen.
That's been a long time ago, and I'm still a new man. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He said, blow the trumpet to gather at the altar so that I can speak to the people. First, I'm going to assemble the princes to hear what God has to say. And I said, gather the people at the altar so that I might bless. So, John, leaving them tonight, let's meet at the altar. Let's meet at the altar with God. I hear the trumpet sounding. We sung the song this morning. Jesus is coming soon, and the trumpet sounding. I read in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians about the trumpet sounding in the last day. It's almost over. Not only when it's going to happen. When I was talking, when Jay was talking last night, he said to some of his loved ones, I don't know God's plan. He said, I might go tonight. He said, I might go in a week. He said, I might live 10 more years. But one thing I know, I'm ready. I'm rapture ready. If you're rapture ready tonight, if you love God, let's gather in the altar just to worship. Let's just worship Him tonight. What was the name of that song, Teresa, that George has sung?
I have been blessed.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
God is good. And I've been blessed. You've been blessed, and we're not going to have the piano player to come, we're not going to sing. Our life was just coming. If you want to kneel or stand, I want us to just worship God. I want us to just thank God. I want us to give Him praise and glory. Sometimes we rush to the altar and ask God, I need this and I don't have that. Please take care of this. But tonight, Lord, we're not coming to ask for anything, but we just want to worship You tonight. We just want to love You tonight. We just want to let You know we care about You, Lord. We care. Will You stand together with me? Without any singing, without any music playing. I wonder even now, would you just step out and meet me here? Maybe we could stand together to begin with anyhow. Stand around the altar and let's just worship God. Let's just praise God. The covenant has been sounding for all these years. And God has been gathering the people together. Hallelujah. And we have been marching out. Let's go for God, and the battle has been raging. But now it says, come to the altar. Come to the altar, come to the altar. I will strengthen you. I will refresh you. I will lift you up. I will encourage you. I will bless you. Hallelujah.